Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord as you are. Maybe high five your neighbor and say, welcome to Hope Community Church. Amen. We are glad that you're here. So today we're starting a brand new series entitled Connect. All right. And so we had a leadership meeting last week and we're just kind of talking about some different things, how we can make Hope Community better. And one of the things that we came across was this word connect. We felt like there may be a disconnect between different people. And so we're hoping to not only connect each other, but also connect ourselves to God and connect with the vision of our church. And so we're going to be talking about connecting. Amen. And the very first part of this series is connecting with God. All right. And so have you ever noticed whenever the more time that you spend with someone, the greater you have an understanding of where they're coming from and maybe what they are saying, it's not always the case whenever you're talking to a stranger, right? Sometimes you're talking to a stranger, you don't necessarily know their backstory, you don't necessarily know where they're coming from, you don't really understand your dialect a whole lot, but the more time you spend with this person, the greater you understand their voice and where they're coming from. Funny story, this past week, I was here at the church, and we get several people in and out the building all day long, and so it's nothing new to have someone just show up. And so anyway, this older gentleman, he came, and he asked me, he said, he told me that he was here to pick up, and what I understood was Lawrence Flew, okay? That's what I understood. That's what I heard in my ears, Lawrence Flew. Now, you're probably thinking, I never heard the last name Flew before. It's kind of peculiar, but I just roll with it. I hear so many different last names that are so unique and so different. So I say, okay, Lawrence Flew. Well, I'm sorry, sir. Lawrence Flew is not here. And he's like, no, not Lawrence Flew. The little girl's flute. And so anyway, apparently there was a girl from Ellen that she came and she was tutoring and she had left her flute here for tutoring. And so it wasn't Lawrence Flume, but it was Lawrence Flute. But had I had spent time with this guy, had I known him and understood his dialect, like he had a real Cajun accent. And so, you know how words tend to kind of blend together with a Cajun accent. Had I spent any time with him, I would have understood he was not asking for Lawrence Flew, which is kind of a silly last name. He was asking for Lawrence Flute. So anyway, this morning we're going to talk about, the more that we spend with God, the more time that we spend connecting with God, the better it is that we will understand his voice, what it is that he is speaking to our lives, what direction that he is wanting for our families. And so that comes with spending time with God, getting along in that secret place. So we're going to begin in book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 6. And we're just going to look at this one particular verse, this sermon, so you don't have to turn your Bibles a whole lot. But this one particular verse that Jesus instructs his disciples on how we can connect with God. And I think it's very beneficial to our lives this morning. So, we're talking about this word connect. And so whenever we say connect, the word really means to be joined or to become one. And as I mentioned, the first connection that we need to establish in our lives is our connection with God. If we cannot establish that connection, then we will not connect with any other people. We will not connect people to God. The very first thing that needs to take place in our lives is our connection with God. Now, as you know, if you've been here any time, we studied in the book of Genesis when sin came into the world, and because of sin there is this disconnect between us and God because of one man's disobedience, because Adam disobeyed God, their sin came into this world, and because of that sin we are separated from God. Sin separates us from God, and so we know that we are been born with this sinful nature. This sinful nature has been passed on from generation to generation to generation. You don't have to tell a kid to be bad, right? You have to teach them to be good. They already know how to be bad all by themselves. They have to be taught how to do good. And so this sin, it's inherited in us, and it separates us from a loving and eternal God. So we need, first of all, we need to mend this connection, this relationship, this issue in our lives. So in the book of Matthew chapter 6, it says this, "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So if you ever wondered what it is you should be doing whenever you pray, the very first thing he says is to get into your room and shut the door. Shut the door. Cut off all the distractions. You know, even this morning, as we're entering to worship, it can be so easily distracting. You know, whether we're having to change out batteries in the bass, we have to change out batteries in the mics, and we have to do different things. Maybe you're thinking about work, you're thinking about a project, you're thinking about so many different things. You're thinking about the Super Bowl and your Super Bowl party and all the friends that you've invited. You didn't invite me because I didn't get an invitation. I'm just picking. But you're thinking about all these different things, and so you have all these different things that are competing for your attention during this time where you should be meeting away with God. It's your time where you can connect with God, but yet there are so many distractions. Maybe you're thinking about your kids, and you're worried about them, you're praying for them, you're fasting for them, and you're just believing God for them. Whatever it is, you have these different things that are fighting for your attention, and Jesus will say, get into your closet and close the door. In other words, you got to quiet your mind. You got to begin to quiet those thoughts. You know, it's so important. Whenever you begin to spend your daily quiet time with the Lord, and that you begin to quiet all those thoughts. Whatever it is, those thoughts can wait. You know, the dinner, it can wait. It will still be a need after you finish your prayer time. Those kids, they can wait. You need to quiet your mind. You need to get alone with God and begin to see what it is that He has for you. And a lot of times it takes a little extra focus, a little extra pushing just to cast aside all those things and begin to quiet your mind before the Lord. And so one of the very first things that Jesus is saying in this sermon is that whenever you pray, that you would go and that you would lock the door, that you would break off all the distractions, everything that is fighting for your attention. And then so that was the very first point you want to say, connect with God through quiet time. So I know sometimes it may be hard, right, if you have kids, to find a particular time and a particular place to have quietness. Because if you have kids, it's not quiet. I understand. I have four of them. And it's never quiet. But, hey, if you have to wake up 15 minutes early in the morning to find a place where you can get alone with God and you can break aside all distractions, then you must do it. And I guarantee you, and as you begin to set aside all this, as you begin to focus your thoughts on God, as the book of Colossians says, that we should think on things that are above, then God's going to begin to speak to you, and God's going to make this connection with you. You're going to connect with God, and God's going to connect with you. Amen. So what does it mean to connect with God? So we've talked about getting alone in your closet, getting alone in your room. Now, this scripture doesn't mean that you should not have corporate prayer as well. Whenever the Lord does instruct us that we should come together. And if you miss out on Wednesday nights, whenever we have our prayer and praise, you really miss an awesome time in the presence of the Lord. When we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and we pray together with one sole purpose of just knowing Him and seeking Him, is an incredible and wonderful thing that we could begin to experience. But it's not to be limited to corporate prayer. See, what happens in corporate prayer is an overflow of what's happening in your individual prayer. If you are praying on a regular basis and spending time with the Lord and getting away in that quiet place, then it becomes an overflow whenever you begin to be with your brothers and your sisters. But if it's not happening on an individual level, it's not going to happen on a corporate level as well. You know, it's great that we come together, but at the same time, you need to find that time where you're spending quiet time with the Lord, good quality time. And I say quiet because to quiet your mind, to quiet your thoughts, and just to push for focus, those things can wait, and just begin to focus in on the Lord and watch. And He's going to speak, and He's going to connect with you. So the first thing He says is go into your room, shut the door. The next thing He says is pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, Jesus, He says to pray to your Father. How many of you guys know that He is your Father? He is your Heavenly Father. Now, my kids have a unique relationship with me. They can come to me and they can talk to me about their day. They can ask me, hey, Dad, can you catch the cereal at the pantry? Hey, Dad, can you pour this for me? Hey, Dad, can you get me a bowl at the pantry? And I'm like, yes, I would love to help out my little daughter and give you a bowl of cereal. I would love to do that so much. And so it's a unique relationship that I have with my kids where they don't feel threatened to ask me for anything. They don't feel intimidated to come and tell me about their day, how their day was, because they know that I'm going to listen to them and I'm going to hear them out because they are my children. I love them as a father loves their children, and just as our Heavenly Father loves us. And so you should never come to God, and if you are a child of God, let's first establish that thought. If you are a child of God, if He is your Father and you are His child, then the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. Amen? And that we should never be like, well, God's just going to strike me down. God's just ready to take me out. No, God is a loving Father, and He delights to hear the prayers of His children. It brings them great delight. And the thing about it, God knows what we need even before we pray it. Like just as, you know, if my kids are looking up at the pantry and they're looking at a bowl, and I'm just waiting. I know what they want. They want me to get the bowl, but I'm waiting for them to ask me. I'm waiting. Are they going to ask me, or are they going to try to do this by themselves and spill cereal all over the place and make a giant mess, right? And I believe sometimes the Lord will do that. Well, He said, I know what you need. I can see your need. But I'm waiting for you to come. I'm waiting for you to ask. I'm waiting for you to humble yourself and ask, say, I need your help. No, I need you to come into my life. I cannot do it on my own strength. And He's waiting to see, what will you do? How will you respond? Will you try to handle it by yourself and fix your own need and make a giant mess out of your life? Or will you just surrender it all to the foot of Jesus and say, no, I need your help. Amen. And so He says, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So He's teaching us, you have access, just as my children have access to come and ask me about anything, or they have access to tell me about their lives, you have access to your Heavenly Father to come, to make your petitions known to Him, to let Him know, God, this is what I'm dealing with right now, I need your help. Or God, I just love you so much, I love it whenever my kids, they're not asking me for anything, but they just come and say, Daddy, I love you. It just melts my heart, it really does. Or whenever, you know, they just want to hug. They say, Daddy, I just want to hug you. And so we give them a hug, and it's just a wonderful time. And what, you know, I believe our Heavenly Father is just like this as well. Whenever we come to Him, that it's not always about what you can do for me, but God, I just want to be with you. God, I just want to spend some time with you. God, I just want to connect with you today. I just want to hear your heartbeat. I just want to know what it is that you are speaking into my life. Would you connect with me as a father would connect with his child? And He says, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Amen. He is your Heavenly Father. He loves you with an unconditional love. He paid a high price for you. And you are His child. As a child of God, you are His. And He desires to hear your prayers. It says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father. And so that's the next thing we want to talk about, is connecting to God through prayer. Amen. And so whenever we first got our kids, it was an interesting thing. Because they're from the Philippines, and they have a totally different culture than we have here in the United States. And I remember the first time we Skyped with them, the first time we got to meet them is through Skype. And, you know, we would ask them questions, and they would not automatically respond, or at least we didn't think they were responding. But in the Philippine culture, they respond so differently. Like whenever you ask them a question, and it's a yes or no answer, they might go like this. You know, they might raise their eyebrows, like. And so a lot of times, I'm like, why are they not answering my question? You know, whenever I ask them about their day, or I ask them about what's going on. But what I didn't realize is that they were going, you know, they were raising their eyebrows, yes. And so that meant yes. Or whenever we finally got them and we're driving in our car, I'd ask them something. And it took them a while to get out of this habit. And, you know, I would ask them something, and no response. I'm like, man, what's going on? But what I didn't realize is that they were responding. They were raising their eyebrows. And so that meant, I am listening. Yes, it means yes. And so, but here's the thing. Even though God knows our thoughts, all right, even though that God, he knows what we have need of before we even pray, this is not about a mental telepathy thing. God is wanting you to vocalize your thoughts, and he's wanting you to vocalize your prayers. I needed my children to vocalize to me an answer. I needed to hear their voice, what it was that they were needing from me, or what it was. I just needed to hear their voice. And I believe, you know, our Heavenly Father is, as a father, you learn so much about our Heavenly Father. The love that you have for your kids, the love that, you just learn so much about him. So anyway, we hear his voice. He needs to hear our voice. And so here's the thing. The Bible says that in book of Proverbs chapter 15, verse 6, it says that the prayer of the upright is his delight. In other words, he delights to hear in your prayers. He delights to hear in your prayers. It's not a burden to him. It is his delight. In the book of Galatians 3:26, it says, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons and daughters of God through faith." And so how do we have this access? How do we connect with God as children? First of all, you're a child of God if you have faith through Christ Jesus our Lord. So if you don't have faith in Jesus, if he is not your Heavenly Father, then you don't have this same access that we're talking about. But if you are, if you have faith in Christ, if you have surrendered to him, then he is your Lord, he is your Heavenly Father, and thus you can come and make your petitions known to the Lord. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4:16, it says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace in the time of need." Let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Think about that for a second. Are you confident whenever you come to the Lord? Are you confident in your prayers? Are you confident that, first of all, that you can come to him? Then are you confident that the Lord hears you, that he hears your prayers, that he delights in your prayers? Not just my prayers, just because I'm the pastor, but he delights in your prayers, you know, as a son or as a daughter of God. That's how valuable you are to him. And so sometimes we might not pray to our Father as the scripture instructs us because we don't really know that we have that access. Or maybe we're not really sure of what to pray. We don't really know what words to say. I got a little acronym that hopefully is going to help you guys out this morning. And so if you don't know what to pray, if you don't know how to connect to your Father, if you don't know what it is that you should be praying, here's one way, just a way just that you can begin to apply to your life. And the first thing is adoration. The acronym spells out ACTS, A-C-T-S. And the first thing is adoration. And Jesus begins to talk about this in the later verses of Matthew 6, where he says, "Hey, look, you ought to give exaltation to the Lord your God. You ought to lift up the name of the Lord your God and just declare how great and how wonderful he is." And so whenever you enter that quiet time with the Lord, when you quieted your mind and you set aside this time to pray, that you begin to adore him for who he is and what he has done in your life. Now, how many of you guys know that he is worthy of all praise? He is worthy of glory. There is something that you can begin to find and adore him for. And so whenever you enter into your quiet time, that time with the Lord, that you adore him. God, I honor you. I worship you. You are holy. You are magnificent. You are Lord of all. You have saved me. You begin to adore the name of God. Amen. And then the next thing is confession, that you would confess your sins before the Lord. And the Bible says if you confess with your mouth that he is faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, you confess that he is Lord, and that means that he is in complete control of your life. And then you should enter into thanksgiving, that you should, there's something that you can be thankful for. There's something that you can give God thanks for, whatever it is, and that you would begin to thank him for that. Then there's supplication. So notice the process of adoring him and just honoring him as God and confessing. Then there's supplication. That's where you ask, God, would you move on my behalf? God, would you move on my need? God, would you help me in this situation? And after you have done, you know, this is a pretty good model to follow. And most of the time, God will answer. Amen. I'm not saying that he's going to answer every prayer the way that you expect him to answer every prayer. But whenever you begin to come with a heart of adoration, you come with a heart of humility where you confess your weakness before the Lord, and you come with a heart of thanksgiving, then God will begin to connect with you. And He is willing, and you know, just as I am willing to open up that pantry and get that bowl of cereal and pour it into my kids' bowl, hey, look, your Heavenly Father is wanting to answer those prayers and wanting to fulfill whatever need that you have in your life. And so the book of James, chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, He is wanting to connect with you in such a great way. Are you willing to seek after Him? Are you willing to quiet your thoughts before the Lord? Are you willing to pray to your Heavenly Father? And as you begin to do this, I believe that God will connect to you through a rewarding relationship. And that's the next point. Just look at it again at the end of Matthew 6:6. It says, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And if you look at the King James Version, it says, reward you openly. Now, everybody likes rewards, right? Everybody likes, you go to work, you get a paycheck, right? So everybody understands this. And so the Lord Jesus is saying, hey, look, if you are willing to quiet, to find yourself in that quiet time, you're willing to shut out all the distractions, you're willing to pray to your Heavenly Father, there is a reward for the righteous. You know, and part of that reward is knowing God. You know, one of the greatest things that you can experience is God Himself. Whenever you're in that quiet time, He will give you the peace that surpasses all understanding. He will give you the strength whenever you don't have any strength to keep on going. He will do that which for you which you cannot do on your own. And so as you begin to spend time with the Lord, as you begin to connect through quiet time and through prayer, that God begins to connect to you through a rewarding relationship. I've seen several times, where, God will answer prayers, especially like for the new believers, those who are just coming to the Lord, and whenever they begin to pray, I've seen God just answer in such an incredible way. Maybe they were hoping for a job. Maybe they were believing for some family situation to change, and God answered their prayer. I believe God answers our prayers whenever we begin to seek first the kingdom of God, and that in that itself, that is a reward. Amen. As a pastor, I've had so many prayers that were answered where God just says, hey, you know what? As you're seeking me first, as you're putting first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things I'm going to add unto you. Amen. It is a great reward. And so whenever I think about this whole reward thing through relationship, I often think of my parents. Every Sunday, my parents, they cook a huge meal. Anybody like to eat and eat a lot? Yeah, that's a problem that we all have, right? I love food. I love eating, and I can just put down some food, and my wife's like, man, where does it all go? I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. But anyway, I love me some food, and I love going to my parents' house because they, like every Sunday, they cook a giant meal. I mean, they probably could feed everybody in this church that cooks so much. But anyway, there is no limits to how much food I can eat. And the beauty about this, my kids get a free meal, amen. So if you have kids, you know what that's all about, right? And so any free meal, I'm like, yes, bring it on, hallelujah. My kids are hungry, and so we need to feed them. And so here's the thing. I can go to my parents' house and I can eat all this food. And I get all the rewards for all this food. And you know what? There's nothing that is demanded of me but to be there and eat the food. But there's nothing that is demanded of me. Like, I don't have to work for it. I don't have to go cut their grass. I don't have to go, do any chores to earn this food. It's just simply because I'm their son. It's simply because I have a relationship with my Father. He is my Father, and my mom is my mother. It's nothing else. It's simply because of that relationship. And so it is in our walk with the Lord. You know, you're waiting and you're believing God for something. Well, because you are a son, because you are a daughter of God, He delights whenever you come and just spend time with Him. He delights in that. And because of that, yes, there is a great reward that is bestowed upon our lives. Amen. Maybe it's a healing in the body. Maybe it's a financial miracle. Whatever it may be, Maybe it's, you know, you get the promotion, you get the favor of the Lord on the job, where you get the promotion or you get the raise, and no one else does. Why? Because you get rewarded because of your relationship with Christ. You know, a lot of times, amen. A lot of times, things that are not supposed to fall in place, fall in place. Things that are not supposed to happen good, and it works out for your good. Why? Because that's the favor of the Lord extended upon you just for being in relationship with God. There's a reward for being in relationship with Him. Amen. It's very rewarding. You'll find the favor of the Lord. And so we can consider all these rewards from God as unmerited. In other words, it's something that we cannot deserve. It's something that we just get because of our relationship. It's not something that we can do to earn it or deserve it. It's simply because He is our Father, and He is a good Father, and we are His children. So whenever we begin to lock ourselves in the door, whenever we begin to shut out those thoughts that compete for our attention, whenever we begin to pray to our Heavenly Father as He is our Heavenly Father, as we are His children, then God begins to connect with us through a rewarding relationship. Amen. And let me just tell you, there is no greater thing than to live for the Lord. There is no greater thing that you can fill your life with than with the presence of God. You know, many people try to find, they fill their lives with so many things, and they are still left empty at the end of it all. You can fill your lives with hobbies and sports and different things, but you will still be empty at the end of it all. But when you find yourself in that quiet time and you're filling yourself up with the presence of God and you connect with Him, let me tell you that you're going to have everything that you possibly need for that day and everything that you possibly need for that week. It is found in Him. It is found in His goodness. Amen. If you would you just bow your heads and close your eyes, please? You know, it's our job to quiet our thoughts. So right now, maybe do that. All the thoughts right now that are competing for your attention, will you just quiet those thoughts and begin to think about God? Begin to think about His goodness. Begin to think about His mercy towards you. All other things must be put aside. Just enjoy this quiet moment with your Father. And as you do, you begin to pray to your Father. As you begin to silence the voice of everything else, you begin to pray as though you are a child of God and that He is looking out for your best interests, that He loves you with an unconditional love, and that you can come to Him as your Heavenly Father. You can come to Him as a child. So right now, we quiet our thoughts and we focus in on you, God. Yes, Lord, that you will begin to connect with us. That we will begin to connect with you. That you will begin to connect with us. And Lord, this cycle will continue, Lord God. Lord, that the more time we spend with you and in your presence, the more that we will know your heart, the more that we will recognize your voice, the more, Lord God, we will be attuned to that which you are trying to do in this earth, Lord God. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, as believers in this place, Lord, that we would seek you, Lord, that nothing else would be that important, Lord, that we would carve out time from our day and begin to meet with our God, begin to connect with our God. And as we do, Lord, you will connect with us. Lord, we pray, Lord God, that heaven would touch earth, Lord, today. That heaven would come down and touch our lives. We want to connect with you, Lord God, so that we can connect with others. We cannot connect with others, Lord God, on our own strength. We need your very presence in our lives, oh Lord. So mold us and shape us into the image of God. Take that which is unclean, Lord God, and unworthy out of our lives, oh Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, that your church, Lord, would see the value in connecting with you on a daily basis. We not just connect, Lord, on a corporate level, but, Lord, that which is, whenever we connect corporately, it would just be an overflow of what you've been doing individually throughout the week, oh, Lord. And so, Lord, let each and every day be a time where we delight in you, where we take our delight, where it's not an obligation to pray to you. It's not because I have to, but Lord, because I want to. I want to know you more. I want to know your heartbeat. I want to know what burns for you in your heart. I want to know what you are concerned about. I want to know your heart, Lord Jesus. Let that be our prayer today, oh God. We ask, Lord, for your wisdom and your favor upon our lives. Though we don't deserve it, we don't deserve any good thing that you give us. You graciously give it to us because of our relationship with you, because simply we are your children. God, we thank you and we give you all the praise and all the glory in this place today. And Lord, we do pray as we go out into the streets this evening, Lord, your hand would be upon us. And Lord, that we can tell others, Lord, about our good Heavenly Father who wants to have a relationship with them, Lord as well. Lord, we pray for salvations. Lord, we pray even for healings and miracles, Lord, as we go out into the streets. And Lord, we just ask, God, that you would have your way in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you need a Bible reading plan just to connect with the Lord, your Bible reading plan is in the bulletin. Take it out. I know we're reading through Genesis and Exodus and some of Matthew and Mark and Psalms and all over the place. That's a good way to spend 5-10 minutes in the Word. Hey, listen to some worship. Find these songs that we sing on Sunday mornings and blast them in your house. Amen. Every other day of the week. And then just begin to listen to the Lord and His assignment on your life. So we encourage you to do that. Don't forget, 2 until 5 today is Hope to the Streets. So we're going to be back, we promise, before the Super Bowl. And so we just encourage you to do that. If you want to sign up for your student for DNOW, just talk to me. And we have a short DNOW meeting right after church. And our thrift store will be open in a couple of minutes. We love you guys. See you on Wednesday at 6:30. It's going to be awesome.